Imagine coming to God for rescue, asking for him to save you in your distress after you have turned aside from him, and God turning to you and saying, this is your fault. And you want to serve wealth? Let your wealth win the day. You want to serve the gods of this world and all the self-independence? Well, let that rescue you now. Oh, and you want to serve the gods of instant gratification? Go ahead, pray to them. See if they'll help you. Didn't Israel deserve this after they had turned from the Lord and turned so defiantly for so long? What about when you know somebody who has turned aside from worshiping the Lord? Should we say to them as they come to us, wait a second, you left God. You get to lie down in your own bed. God never shuts the door, never rejects those who come to him in repentance and seeking his mercy and grace. Now, if you know someone who has forsaken the Lord, somebody who needs the courage to return and call him once again, my Father, should we not open the door?
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 30th, 2025. Judges 10, verses 6 to 16.
Maybe you've heard it before. You've crossed the line. That's it, I've had it. This is the last straw. Maybe you've not only heard it before, but had to say it to somebody who just went too far. And so you had to tell them. And then either disconnect yourself from them, quit, or send them away. It's a horrible thing to feel when you've been rejected. And when it's your own fault, it's even harder. Does God respond this way when his people cross the line? When they've stepped too far, too long, too often? Today we consider God's word in our readings this morning, especially in Judges 10, and we see how he responds. See, the people of Israel at the time of the judges had a relationship with God, but it was strained. They were actually separated from him. When we read how the people turned away from the Lord, it says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This is the God who they made a covenant with. God described his relationship with them as a loving husband to his bride, the church, the people. And yet they broke his covenant. He told them to worship him only and to rid themselves of the gods of the land that they were occupying. And yet, what did they do? They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. It says they served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. It's quite the list. Notice they probably didn't do much evil in the eyes of the gods around them or the nations surrounding them. In fact, they probably felt pretty comfortable serving all the gods of the land. And yet it doesn't matter if the people around you or this world around you feels you're doing good or are right. What matters is the eyes of the Lord. And what's striking about that phrase, evil in the eyes of the Lord, is we find that phrase coming up 40 times in the Old Testament. And it's only here in the book of Judges that we see the 7 times it comes up, all the people of Israel. Not just some influential bad character leading some people astray. Not just some godless king and the people that followed him, but here it says, all the people of Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And it concludes, they no longer served him, serving those other gods. The result? It says, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies, who shattered them, who oppressed them. The words here actually say God gave them or surrendered them to his enemies. This is kind of like what we read in that parable with the son, where the father did not want the son to go. But when the son left, he didn't stop him, but said, okay, if this is your wish, and watched the son leave. See, the Israelites did not have a God who forsook them, They had forsaken their God, and they faced the consequences as God sent their enemies upon them. It's kind of a sad reality. The have it your way, when God finally gives into the sinner's desire, is that their own gods, their own idols, turn on them, and they suffer. What are the gods of this world that people turn to? Even people like we see here, those who knew the Lord, people who have believed in the Lord but turn aside to their false gods. Well, the gods of our time, you would have to say, would certainly include self-indulgence. The idea that no one can tell me, I'm not going to listen to what the Lord says or his servant, I'm not going to listen to that because no one can tell me what to do. In fact, people will go so far as to say, God doesn't make mistakes, therefore I can do what I want. Implying that whatever evil that they decide to do is not evil in the eyes of God. Or what are the gods of this age? Isn't it the world around us that tells us that your body is there for instant gratification? It doesn't matter what God says regarding marriage. You can do as you please because that's the way everyone does it. That's the God of this land. Or the gods of this land could also be, as we live in affluence, our wealth and our riches that can provide us with all that we need. Sure, there's occasional time to worship God, but soon the riches take over and we forget the Lord and we serve our wealth, our pleasures, and we have all we need, right? And we find many people, many believers, those who have been baptized, who have been taught the faith, echo what was done here. It says that for 18 years, the Israelites were hard oppressed by their enemies. Maybe you know a person who was brought into the church, who knew the goodness of the Lord, but then for maybe several weeks, months, soon became years, they turned away from the Lord. And sometimes it's only when they hit rock bottom that they realize, like the son who had wondered, what has happened. And the terrible irony of sin is those very same gods that we serve, they end up becoming our affliction. When Israel had faced this for so long, after 18 years, it says, they cried out to the Lord. The Lord replied, when the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, the Moabites, when they oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods. So I will no longer save you. Go, cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. Ouch. Imagine coming to God for rescue, asking for him to save you in your distress after you have turned aside from him, and God turning to you and saying, this is your fault. And you want to serve wealth? Let your wealth win the day. You want to serve the gods of this world and all the self-independence? Well, let that rescue you now. Oh, and you want to serve the gods of instant gratification? Go ahead, pray to them. See if they'll help you. Didn't Israel deserve this after they had turned from the Lord and turned so defiantly for so long? What about when you know somebody who has turned aside from worshiping the Lord? Should we say to them as they come to us, wait a second, you left God. You get to lie down in your own bed. After all, doesn't the writer to the Hebrews say, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we've received knowledge of truth, then there's no longer any sacrifice for sins, but only the fearful expectation of the judgment of God. Our God is a consuming fire. Dare someone turn aside and reject his mercy and grace and turn to serve the gods of this world? How could they? And at what point would you say they've crossed the line, they've gone too far? The door is shut. Or at what point would God's church give that impression? Because what do we see? The Israelites, upon hearing this, they knew they did not deserve to belong to their God. But they turned to him again and said, we have sinned. Do with us whatever you think is best, but please rescue us today. Isn't that repentance. Not just saying, Lord, rescue me, and I'll continue in my sin. No, repentance is saying, I have sinned, Lord. Do with me as you please. I don't deserve your goodness. Putting ourself, putting our lives, our soul, and our body into the hands of God and saying, Lord, do as you please. Isn't repentance then also what we see next? It says, they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord, turning aside from those things and to our God. When that young man in Jesus' story came to his senses, he still remembered one thing, my Father. Something had not changed. He had changed. He had left his father. He had squandered all the riches of his father, but he was still his father. And God never shuts the door, never rejects those who come to him in repentance and seeking his mercy and grace. When the Lord saw this, he could bear Israel's misery no longer. God opens the door and never rejects those who come to him seeking mercy. And we know this is true because his son came to a world that did not deserve to be called his children, a world that had so long rejected him, not just for 18 years, but from the beginning of time. How long would you put up with rejection? Let me put this in terms that God does. What if you were dating someone and you found them to be cheating on you? Would you come back for a second date? Or furthermore, if you were betrothed in a covenant with someone to love them faithfully for the rest of your life, and they were unfaithful to you, would you accept them or would you not close the door? But God, in his great abundant mercy, opens the door through his Son, who is the way and the life. And his Son faced for his bride the rejection that we deserved. On the cross, he cries out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because on him was laid our guilt. All the evil we did in God's eyes was on his Son. And his Son was forsaken so that we would not be, but rather welcomed into God's kingdom. Now, if you know somebody, someone who has forsaken the Lord, somebody who needs the courage to return and call him once again, my Father, should we not open the door? If you know someone who's wandered for 18 years or even a lifetime, let them hear, yes, you do not deserve to be called God's child. And yes, let them hear what the Lord said, serve those other gods. If you turned aside from the Lord and you trust in wealth, you trust in yourself, let that save you. But say it as the Lord does, with a heart aching for them to see what has happened so that they might turn again to him. Say it with a love and a yearning like the Father had in Jesus' story, that they might know the door is open and that there is a God who will never reject them in Christ. In Christ, he has opened a new door to a new life without rejection. Amen.